Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
61, we're going to look at four verses tonight of a message titled, My Rock. And I don't know about you, when the fuel prices can jump 35 cents, sadly, our commander-in-chief has decided to shut down the pipeline and take away our oil independence, and now we have all been suffering because of the very terrible decision to do that. And then today, the Russian President Vladimir and his cozying up to the UAE, I don't know if you've noticed that, but they have decided to lower 2 million barrels of oil production a day. So overnight, as they cozied up together and made that alliance, you were waking up this morning to the beautiful gift of blessing them with another 35 cents a gallon. Amen? Now, oh me, right, oh me. They said amen, and we said oh me. But it doesn't matter if tomorrow you wake up and it's $20 a gallon. See, and I say that because the economy, finances, and empires are not my stability. My stability is not in a 401k. My stability is not in Longview Baptist Church. It's in what it represents, which is Christ. It is the gift of salvation and a God that sustains all, carries all, transcends all. I don't have to worry about my ability to live changing tomorrow, because it's not tossed about as the ocean is. All of those things in the world can be lost in a moment's notice. How many times have cargo ships, I think that happened a number of years ago, it was full of brand new cars, it was Hyundais I believe it was, but an entire tanker full of brand new Kias or Hyundais capsized, and all of those cars were immediately without value. Empires come, empires go, finances come, finances go. But I'll tell you scripturally, the word of the Lord remains the same. It endures. It transcends. And tonight, I just wanted to encourage you with that message titled, My Rock. And I hope you found Psalm chapter 61. Again, we'll look at verses 1 through 4. And if you're physically able tonight, let's stand out of reverence for the reading of God's word. God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. I call to you from the ends of the earth, where my heart is without strength. When my heart is without strength, lead me to a rock that is high above me. For you have been a refuge for me, a strong tower in the face of the enemy. I will dwell in your tent forever and take refuge under the shelter of your wings. Father, speak through your word tonight. Encourage us, comfort us, God. Challenge us, Lord, to recklessly, Father, fall into your arms, God, with everything that we have. Lord, trust you. You are trustworthy. God, there is nothing that you cannot handle, Father, and I pray that tonight in total blind faith, Lord, we will, to the greatest degree possible, rest in you for everything, the all-sufficiency. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So we do a lot of things recklessly, but how many times have you ever thought about running to the Lord with reckless abandon, falling in his arms recklessly? You won't do that to your friend. Many of you wouldn't probably do that to your spouse. Nah, she dropped me. He dropped me. But you need to do that to the Lord, because see, when you play that trust game with the Lord, he bats 1,000. God will never allow your foot to stumble. He'll never allow you to fall. And tonight, the verses 1 through 3 again, God, hear my cry. Pay attention to my prayer. So you see, it's almost as if there's a doubt in there, and I don't believe that really is. I think it's just a reiteration of, hey, God, hear my prayer. Pay attention to my prayer. Lord, you're listening, right? It's that thing we do with, like, all right, you're listening, right? You say that to us. This is really important. And that's what that is doing, is just reaffirmation that I call to you from the ends of the earth. When my heart is without strength, lead me to the rock that is high above me. It's recognizing, see, We don't know where the rock is, do we? We don't know where the sure footing is, but we trust the scripture as scripture alludes to the promise of even Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trusting the Lord with all of your heart, leaning not into your own understanding, and all of your ways acknowledging him, the promise, he will direct your paths. Look at that picture again. It's a parallel verse with this, because God is the one that as we call to him and our heart is without strength, he has to lead us to that rock that is what? High above me. Ephesians 3:20, unto him who's able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above. See, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts higher than our thoughts. And the first thing comes from that tonight, and it's a question. Who is your strength when you're weak tonight, truly? If you're a go-getter, how many, you know, type A, type go-getters in here? Come on, right? When something breaks, you know, it's hard for me tonight when the car, you know, the alternator's bad in the van. I'm getting in old man mode, though. I called somebody, I said, listen, I can't, I wasn't even going to do in my prideful youth, I wasn't even going to let that come up from the dead tonight and say, oh no, I'll get back tomorrow from that test and I'll do it. No. My back can't handle it. My neck can't handle it. Listen, it's time to let, and I called a dear brother in the Lord, and they're going to get it squared away tomorrow. Now, this is where my faith, amen, because I have to have faith that my friend is going to do, because I've had too many people in life that say they're going to do something and then they don't. And then guess what happens? Tomorrow afternoon, where am I? I'm up under it again. Right? Because you're at a loss. What do? You got to get the car. You got a bunch of kids to carry around, and you're going to be one person down who's at a place of a conference of joy while we're in the midst of this. Amen. Don't want to stress you as you go and enjoy yourself. But you have to trust. And there's that real tendency for us go-getters not to allow God to do his part. To want to help God, because you know, he's busy, right? He's got a lot of things going on, and he's not going to care about this little thing in my life, right? Because you know, I can go get it done. And instead of us going to him and saying, God, I just need you right now because this is not working out well and I don't know what to do, and before I proceed I want to pray, a lot of times we're like, Lord, let me go get this head started, then I'll invite you to the party after I make a wreck of it. Anybody ever done that? That's why it's more expensive to have something fixed after you tried to fix it. You ever had that happen? I haven't had that happen, but I've had people who have charged more, and I've done it myself in business when someone tried to get out the cheap way. And I went in there and had to fix somebody else's mess. I charged more. But that's what happens, though. God sometimes has to bring us to a party that we created through our pride. And God's got to say, it's like the old say, is that right? And God's got to sit back and go, okay, is that what you really are going to do? It's going to hurt. But see, tonight you can go on the preemptive side. A preemptive strike, you think about in the military, it means you go before it. A preemptive, it's an early intervention type thing. It's where you act first. What should you act first in doing? Go to the Lord, allow him to be your strength when you're at that place of weakness and you don't know what to do. Before things go out of hand and spin wildly out of control, go to him as the default, not as a knee-jerk response to the mess you've created. Because what we're doing when we do that is we're showing them. It's like sharing when someone says, hey, if you have a struggle or a battle, let me know about it. How many times have you been in a mess? And then you go to somebody, I've got a disaster here, and they say to you this, why didn't you come to me? Why didn't you let me help you? I'm here for you. I wanted to help you. I wanted to help prevent this. Why didn't you let me know that? I'm not the boogeyman. See, people look at me and they think I'm the boogeyman. They don't want to tell the priest, oh, because if I say that, he's going to think I'm bad. Please, listen, I take my pants off the same way you did. Matter of fact, I hop around a little bit more because of my back, you know, my balance isn't good. And you're probably really cool and you can stand there and take everything off and stand in one position. And sometimes, you know, but we all get it off generally the same way. The older you get, you'll have to get on the floor, you'll have to lay on your bed and pull, though you're still doing it the same way, you're not pulling your pants over your head and getting them off. It's not going to happen, is it? We do it the same way. But see, people get this belief system that is extremely flawed, and I think really, truly, it is a very wicked belief system that the enemy crafts in us by thinking, oh, if I tell the pastor that I'm struggling, he's going to think I'm a train wreck. You've heard me say this again. I assure you, you cannot tell me anything that will shock me. You can't. Now, I might go, oh, man, you've got a mess. But you're not going to look, you're not going to, now, when my nephew, what happened with him, that shocked me. But if you come up to me and tell me the mess that you've made, you're not going to shock me. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to give you a step-by-step way that we can walk out of this, and I'll walk with you. But don't wait until you've created this disaster and then come when there's a very difficult mess to fix. Do it now and lay the pride aside. Allow right there, God, pay attention to my prayer. I call on you from the ends of the earth when my heart is without strength. When you're getting ready to that point where things are going to get really, really bad, hey, God, I need to reach out to a friend also. I've been praying to you. Now I'm going to reach out to the brother or sister in Christ because I'm really at a point. I don't know what to do. I don't have strength. Who is that strength you're going to? I hope tonight that your strength is in the Lord. But I hope you're also utilizing your brothers and sisters in the body of Christ to bombard heaven on your behalf as a follower of Christ. And then the last verse there, verse 4. I will dwell in your tent forever and take refuge under the shelter of your wings. You know, there's no greater place in all of time, history, and space than under the protective shadow of the Lord's wings. Think about the protection of the angelic protection we have. Again, that's a whole other message we could preach on for months, on the angelic protection. And, you know, people, I think that we've just had too many of these movies and things, these little fluffy little angel stuff. You just don't even understand. If an angel was to reveal itself right now, I believe we would be fighting to hide under the pews and to get in the corners. You don't realize these are, in essence, God's mercenaries, God's fighters, God's warriors. Remember when David counted the fighting men? Huh? Anybody know how many people were before the threshing floor? 180 what? 1,000 dead? Boom! Remember when Jesus referenced the legions of, how many? 12 legions? You know how many that is? 144,000! Now you just listen. Can you imagine what 3, 4, or 5 would do? I can't imagine. In short order, they could obliterate the entire earth. Could you imagine what 144,000 could do? I believe they could disassemble the entire solar system in short order. You don't have to believe it, but I know they could. Because God's given them the power to do whatever His will is. So when we talk about spiritual warfare, we can't even begin to imagine. Again, Frank, the Peretti's This Present Darkness, get a chance, read that. It'll help you just imagine the realm of what spiritual warfare is. And I promise you, it's a good read. And it will give you a better understanding when you think about the fight between the darkness, but the power and the light, and thinking about these actual wars that are going on around us all the time. See, God's got protective agents on our behalf, spiritually angels. And that's the beautiful thing tonight. So you think about the shelters. There's no greater place to be in the protection of God's supernatural power, provision, and everything else that He's purposed and planned for us. To me, there's nothing more horrifying than being outside of that. Nothing more horrifying than stepping outside of God's protective hand of blessing. Well, wait a minute. Could that happen? Oh, can it happen? Why don't we ask Samson, under the covenantal blessing he was born under, what happens when your decisions are to excuse yourself out of God's plan? Now, does that mean that God no longer loves you and God no longer cares for you and God no longer... That doesn't have anything to do with that. It has to do with you and I, in an overt act of our will, God allowing us to to step outside the camp, the protective hand, the shelter of his wing. No, no, God, I'm good. Hey, listen, I'll let you know if I need you. Let me reference that old hymn. I need thee every hour. Amen? I hope you need the Lord every hour, because if you don't, you don't know what the loving protection, provision, and the perfect place of blessing is then. You need to stay desperate for the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, by the way, will give you good insight on the concept I'm referencing right now, because his power is made perfect in weakness. Who tonight is your refuge and your shelter? And then back to number one, who's your strength when you are weak? I guess you could go back to the praise chorus. He is my strength when I am weak. He is the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Tonight, what is he for you? Tonight, who's your refuge, your ever-present help in times of trouble? Who's your shelter? See, that's why I love some of the scriptures. Lord is my rock and my salvation. He is my deliverer, my redeemer. I'll go in there and pull out words from scripture when I'm wanting to pray, and I'll start praying in all kind of different ways. Hey, God, you're my everything. Lord, you're my foundation. Lord, you're my strength. Lord, you're my breath. You're my life. God, you're my everything. Why do I say that? Do you think he doesn't know that? No, I just want to reiterate that. Not only am I reiterating that to myself, but I, in humble declaration, want to make sure that every essence of my life and my surroundings are continually taken captive to the kingdom. Pray without ceasing. And see, we have that mandate scripturally. So tonight, when you're dealing with a real estate issue spiritually up here, and you're going, you know, the devil's been all over me, why don't you evict him? How do you do that? Well, I don't know about you, but I don't have the ability to think duplicitously, meaning I can't split my thinking, because when I'm talking to the Lord, I can't allow myself to engage the conversation the enemy wants to have with me. I don't know about you. You might be a whole lot smarter than I am, and you might be able to have two conversations at once, but I don't believe you can, because light and darkness have no fellowship. So if you will delight yourself in light and not step into the darkness, then you're not going to have the issues that you have when you're allowing real estate to be squatted on by someone who has no right to squat on it, aka the enemy. So just follow the biblical principle of praying without ceasing. Let him be your refuge and your strength, your ever-present help in times of trouble. But not only in times of trouble, but why don't you also dwell there in his presence when things are good and you are on the mountain rejoicing? Don't go to him only when things are tough and you need a refuge and a shelter. You should stay there. Make that your permanent dwelling. That's not a bed and breakfast. That's not one of those VBROs that you rent for 3 days while you're in trouble. God is not this thing that you go and pull a Holy Spirit life preserver off the shelf. Oh, because you're having a bad week. You don't treat the holy, righteous God of creation like a life preserver, church. Honestly, I think that is an absolute affront to the godly, holy, righteous King of kings and Lord of lords. You need to stay in his presence, dwell in his presence. You should greater seek a deeper, humble, falling on your face before him in those times of trouble as you cry out to him. But guess what? You're not having to go anywhere to do that. You're merely engaging a different position during those deep times of struggle and battle. And when the scripture talks about there's times when we don't even know what to pray and the Holy Spirit intercedes with us with groanings that cannot be understood, all you've done is fall into a greater position of humility. But see, you hadn't even had to take a step, because what have you found? You've been dwelling in his presence. You've been dwelling in that shelter. You've been dwelling under the shadow of his wings. And I want to encourage you that tonight as I close. I want to encourage you tonight, if you're not spending your being, your time in his presence, in humble repentance, in humility, under the shelter of his wings, if tonight he's not been your refuge, your fortress, your strong tower, your deliverer, then I'd encourage you during this invitation to get there. Because there will never be any peace, there'll never be any hope, there'll never be any joy, there'll never be any rest until you get to that place of submission to His perfect plan, His will, His way. And if you don't know Him as Lord and Savior tonight, I'd encourage you to come from darkness to life through repentance, confessing your sin, placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and asking Him to be your Savior, the Lord of your life. Let's pray. Father, thank You, God, tonight. Lord, You're on the throne.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make Him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life, first, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust Him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith ask Him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for Him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.